I want to start with the scripture that my opponent's been using, let your women keep silence in the churches. And he was making a point that women could pray, or they could preach, and they could teach, but not in the church assembly. And I want you to look at what I've got there. It says, any interpretation must be in full accord with the principle of harmony of the scripture. When we're dealing with Corinthians chapter 14, it is important for us to understand that Paul is speaking on disruptive issues in the church. That's what Corinthians is dealing with. He's dealing with Corinthian Christians in the church. He says, and then when he begins to deal with the subject of tongues and all of that, he says, let him, talking about the men, he's dealing with the subject of order, let him keep silent in the church. Verses 29 through 33. There was a problem of the prophets interrupting one another. So the solution was take turns and be silent when others are speaking. The third problem there is talkative women. The solution to the women, be silent and ask questions of your husbands at home. So he is dealing with the church. He says, so just because Paul told some women to keep silent does not mean that all women in every church for all time, everywhere, should be silent. And I want to, and that's what I want to go to. You can turn that off. I want to look at a couple of passages of scripture here. I believe I'm going to go back first to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, because this seems to be the scripture that my opponent is just stuck on, he's hinging on, and he wants to say that we're not supposed to teach it all in the church. I want to look at exactly what Paul is talking about there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, to begin the exegesis of this passage, the question has to be asked, how would Paul have in mind here that women are not allowed to preach when it has already been shown in other passages that he recognized women preachers? He recognized women preachers. The church is supposed to be the house of God. You can preach, but you can't preach in the church. He recognized Phoebe as a minister of the church at Cenchrea. All right, and that's in Romans chapter 16, verse 1. Then I'm going to come back to Corinthians 14, 34. He recognized Phoebe as a woman in the church. Let me look at that. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. He recognized Phoebe as a minister. He says, I, meaning Paul, commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you assist her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she may have need of you. For she has been a succorer, meaning a helper, of many and of myself also. Now, in order to interpret this passage correctly and to determine Phoebe's ministerial position in the church, you have to examine the term servant in verse 2. We must give that attention. In the original Greek language, the word servant is translated diakonon, D-I-A-K-O, N-O-N, meaning a minister. Now understand that Phoebe is called not just a servant, not just a servant, but a servant of the church at Cenchrea. Although she was a servant of God, she is not given that title here. Now if you will go back and look in the Greek lexicons and look up the word servant as it is translated from the original Greek in this particular passage, it is translated as minister. It is not the same word that the apostle is using in the book of Acts when he talks about the deacons or the servants who are waiting on tables. That's not the same word, and I'm sure that that's something that my opponent may try to bring to you, but I want you to study that, particularly you ladies in the audience today. God knows that you are intelligent creatures, and God does not mean God's spirit can affect anybody. There's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you can be used of God. The Bible clearly says that he is no respecter of persons. And so, in keeping with the context here, he was saying that Phoebe is a minister of the church. If you want to say that word diaconon, servant, refers to a deaconess or woman deacon, that's still a leadership position in the church. Most Greek lexicons say that word is translated as a deacon. That is still a position of leadership in the church. In reflecting on Acts 6 and 2 and Romans 16, 1 and 2, the phrase in the passage in the book of Acts says that those servants were serving tables, but that's not what they're talking about here. Because in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 2, it has the phrase that Phoebe is a servant of the church, denoting a minister of the church. It is dealing with ministry. That is the ministry of preaching the gospel, plus any other business pertaining to the pastoral office. And so Paul is saying to them, I want you to accept her. If you say that you are people of God, he's saying in Romans 16, then I want you to receive her as in the Lord. Receive her as you would receive me. Receive her in this position. The Webster's New World Dictionary, the American language, defines the term pastor as a minister of a congregation. A minister is one who is anointed of God to a position of responsibility. So this woman here, he's saying that he wants the saints, the Christians, to receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, as people who are set apart by God, as people who are dedicated to God. Want you to understand that it's not so much whether it's male or female. It is the Spirit of God that unctionizes the person. It's not by power nor might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. God can use anybody he wants to use. He is the omnipresent God, the omnipotent God. He's an all-powerful God. He's not limited to gender. He's not limited to race. He's not limited to a person's social or economic background. He is the limitless God. Galatians again says there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 14, 34, when it says, let your women keep silent in the churches. You have to understand what is going on here. In order to deal with 1 Corinthians 14, 34 correctly, you have to look at that word speak. In the Greek New Testament, that word speak has at least two different words. One is pronounced laleo, L-A-L-E-O, and the other is pronounced lego, L-E-G-O. In our text here, the Greek verb for speak is laleo, L-A-L-E-O. The verb speak reveals what Paul had in mind when he said, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted to them to speak. The word that Paul is using here is a word that denotes short, quick sounds as if a person is talking or murmuring. The Greeks used laleo in reference to noises that were made that could not be determined or understood. So when you look at that word laleo, speak, in 1 Corinthians 14, 34, he is talking about a whispering, that is a speaking in a low, soft voice, yet this undertone was very disturbing. Many interpreters, including my opponent, uses this scripture to prohibit women from preaching. But again, I'm going to stand on my premise that he is not talking about preaching here. He's not talking about preaching. If he were talking about preaching, he would use the word euangelizo, as I showed earlier on the screen, to preach the good news concerning the Son of God as proclaimed in the gospel, or caruso, to proclaim or make known by preaching. And further, he would have used the word didasco, which means the act of giving instruction. He's not using that. Now, you need to understand the historical background of this particular scripture that is being used to prohibit women from speaking in the church. Just why were the Corinthian women speaking? The women during that period were very poorly educated, while the privilege of receiving an education belonged to the men. So when they came to the church, The gospel of Jesus Christ was being newly preached and taught, and it was difficult for them to comprehend. Now, that's difficult for us to fathom today because we are educated. We have had the privilege of being able to go to school. The women in the Jewish society did not. So when they sat in the worship service, they began to ask their husbands questions about what was being said. They were not literate in the sense that we could understand literacy today. So they began to murmur, that is, speaking in a low tone of voice, for an understanding of what was being said pertaining to the gospel message. And to prove that point, if you look down at verse 15, he says it plainly right there. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. They were not at that, but he wasn't saying don't preach because nobody was even preaching. They were there in the service, disturbing the service because they simply could not understand due to their lack of education, due to their lack of literacy. They could not understand what was happening. So the women began to murmur and they began to ask questions, and the question asking caused a great disturbance in the sanctuary. And so Paul says, if they will learn anything, that's something to note itself, because in Jewish society, the women were not allowed to learn. They did not have the privilege of being taught. They were forbidden to go to school and to be taught. But here Paul is saying to them, let them learn. Let them learn, because if you learn, you will teach. That's a natural order. If you learn, if you study, you will instruct, you will teach. So he says, let them learn. That right there is revolutionary in New Testament times because of the stand on women back in that particular day. And when he covered all the scriptures concerning about women being covered and when they're praying or prophesying, you have to understand the customs and the traditions of the time. At that particular time in history, women wore veils. Do we wear veils today? No, we don't. They wore veils because in that part of the country, they had to be protected from the sand and from the sun. And also they wore veils because husbands protected their wives, because at that particular time, if another man looked at your wife and she was a beautiful woman, they could kill you for your wife. Look at back in the Old Testament, he's saying that we can't use the Old Testament, but the Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable for us that we're supposed to be, they're written for our examples and for our learning. When Abraham... when they took Abraham's wife, Sarah, they took her because she was a beautiful woman. So when you come over to the New Testament, that custom is again reiterated in Jewish society. They wore veils. And so Paul is dealing with a specific custom for a specific time. And he says, so as not to shock the new world, because here these women are coming into the church, not to somebody's house. They're coming into the church and they are founding newfound freedom in Christ, because the Bible says in the New Testament that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. God's Spirit does not bind, it sets us free. And so Paul, when the women came into the church, here they are living in a society where it's a male-dominant society. It is a society where women are treated as second-class citizens. They don't have the privilege of being able to participate in things as far as learning, not even in education or going to school. And they're coming into the church and they're finding newfound freedom in the church of God. And these women are excited about it. And Paul is saying, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. You have this freedom in Christ. I will not take that away from you. But we can't shock society. You know, back then, women who were prostitutes unveiled themselves and they shaved their head. And Paul is saying, I don't even want you to be identified mistakenly with women who live that kind of life. That's what he's saying. Today it would be equivalent to, we don't wear veils, but we can dishonor our husbands by the way we dress. If a woman goes out in public and parts of her body is exposed, or her skirt is too short, or she has on hot pants, your husband, that's a reflection on your husband. So back in that day, when the woman came into the sanctuary or even out in public unveiled or shaved her head, because of the traditions and the customs of the time, it was considered improper. My friends, you have to know when the Bible is speaking, who he's speaking to, what time and date he's speaking, and who the audience is. Okay? So Paul says, if they will learn anything, he was not stopping them from learning. Here they coming into a situation where previously in every other part of society, they are prohibited from learning. But Paul says, not in the church of Jesus Christ. You can learn here. You come and learn. But he says, don't disrupt or disturb the service while you're learning. You wait until you get home to ask your husbands. So in the church refers to the time while the worship service was in progress. Them seeking to learn by asking their husbands questions would have been proper, but worship service was not the proper place or time to interrupt the audience in order to find out what the minister was saying. The men, on the other hand, they didn't have a lot of difficulty grasping the teaching and the preaching of Jesus Christ. So when we look at this, Paul does not only give such an order, he's dealing with the order. He uses the same word when he's talking in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians when he's talking about the speaking in tongues. And he says, if one is speaking, then let another interpret. He's dealing with church order. Read the chapter. The whole chapter has to do with order. It has nothing to do with trying to silence women. All right? So he goes on and he says, the similar order is given to them in this junction. He says here, don't let the women, laleo, don't let them disturb the service. Don't let them cause a disruption in the service, but let all things be done decently and in order. If you look at that in verse 35, he clarifies that completely. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for them to laleo, to murmur, to disrupt the service, to cause an outburst and an uproar in the church. All right? I want to go to Romans chapter 16, where we're talking again. I want to go back to Phoebe. He says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Again, he says, which is a servant of the church, not just a servant. That entire phrase, servant of the church, if you study it, you can consult a Greek lexicon. You can consult original context of original translations of scriptures. The servant of the church has to do with ministers. If you will even study even other denominations, not just the Pentecostal faith, you will begin to see that most theologians understand that to mean that that was a position of leadership, most theologians. And so he goes on to say that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, not as unbelievers, not as people who are twisting the scriptures. He's saying you receive her in the Lord. Then he says, and not only do I want you to receive her, but assist her. Help her in whatsoever business she have need of you. Then in verse 3 he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. Now, Priscilla and Aquila were a husband and wife team. I heard my opponent say that in the book of Acts, when they took Apollos unto them, the Bible says Apollos was a man. He was mighty in the scriptures, and he was in the synagogue preaching. And Priscilla and Aquila, when they heard him, they took him unto them, and they began to expound or explain the scriptures unto him more thoroughly. They both did it. Now, the question arose, well, they did not do it in the church. But if you look at Romans chapter 16, as he goes on, he says, in verse 3, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, watch this, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. The churches commended this husband and wife team. The wife was very much a part of expounding the scriptures. Look at this. He says in verse 5, likewise, watch this, greet the church that is in their house. They took Apollos to their house, which was the church, and they expounded to Apollos the word of God. Watch this. He says, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. In verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. If you look back into biblical history, Junia was a woman who are of note, listen to this, among the apostles. Paul did not have it in for women. He was not saying that women could not preach or teach in the church. I still contend that to say that from the scripture, 1 Corinthians 14 and 34, that it is for that women cannot preach or teach in the church, remember what I'm saying, because when he gets up, he's going to twist around what I'm saying. But I'm saying to you that those words, preach and teach, are not even in that particular passage. He's talking about murmuring. He's talking about disturbing noises. He's not talking about speaking intelligibly and intelligently and ministering from the word of the Lord. He says, one more point here. He says, if you look at this again, he goes on. He says, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. And these are women who are in this particular chapter of scripture that Paul is commending in ministry. Thank you.